Welcome. These are the words of today that we hear in our word, and maybe even something that you're silently screaming for our confirmands, right? You've made it a pretty long road through maybe baptism, our elementary school days and Sunday school. You've made it through a long grind of confirmation. You probably are screaming, finally, freedom! Well, guess what? You're just starting. We got a whole lot of fun high school youth group stuff in store, so I better be seeing you. For all of us, this is a cry of freedom that we have today. Today is a very special day in which we recognize Reformation Day. 504 years ago, we cried this same word, freedom. Freedom over the burden of knowing our sin and how churches throughout the test of time have used guilt over our sin to accomplish things. Today is all about how we don't have to worry about our sin, our guilt, the power of the devil, the evil of this world anymore because we have freedom in Christ. So, I want to have something fun for all of us. In the front of where you're sitting is a Bible. Please take out your Bible today. And we're going to turn to today's scripture passage and cry out, kind of like what you see before us. Have you ever seen the movie Braveheart? Well, confirmands, you're born after this. This was 1995, but he cried out the same thing. Freedom! This is a cry for us today because guess what? John chapter 8. Turn to it if you have your Bible today. And if you can't have it, there it is before you today. The freedom of knowing that Jesus Christ has set you and me and all of us free. Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you obey my teaching, you are my disciples and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. You've maybe heard that phrase, especially when we're trying to teach each other about being honest. In this context, Jesus and those opponents of him, the Jews, were questioning, we have this long family history, Jesus, where we've never been slaves to anybody. We could do whatever we want, right? We belong to the family of Abraham. Jesus puts them in their place by saying that they were already free. He says this, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Raise your hand if you've ever sinned before. I should see everybody's hand, myself included. That's part of a sinful condition that we were born with. Thanks be to God that you, confirmands, your loved ones, realized that as a sinful infant, you needed the Lord's grace and forgiveness and life in you. So you are here because of them. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave doesn't belong to a family household forever. They're a hired servant. But a member of the family stays a part of the family. And Jesus says this to you and to them. You are now a part of my family because the Son, the heir of the kingdom, has set you free from that slavery to sin. And guess what? If we are set free from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you can better believe it that we will be truly free from our sins. Confirmands, remember, as life gets harder, and it's going to get a lot harder, you've just gotten a taste of it with high school. How's that going? Kind of fun. Some of you might be going off to college where you're questioned about everything you've believed at this point forward. Professors, friends will say, why do you want to be Christian? That's just for people who are superstitious anyway. Professors will ask you, what is the Bible? And you might say, knowing from your confirmation here today, it's the inspired word of God, which tells us the way to right living and tells us of our Savior. And he might say, wrong. The Bible is just a made-up collection of stories changed and edited over time. How are you going to respond if Jesus says the Son has set you free from sin? He also means he set you free from the terror of people when they try to make you question what's in your heart. I bring that up because that happened to me. When I grew up through the Lutheran church, I went to church every week with my family as much as we could. Yes, they dragged me up out of bed when I needed to be dragged out of bed. Pastor Aaron was a sinful kid then. But guess what? When my mom and dad were not feeling great, I was the one that dragged them out of bed. That's up to you now. But when I got to college, I went to University of Wisconsin. Professors would tell me, the Bible is just a storybook. It's maybe good for morals, but it's not the inspired word of God. Why would you believe that? And systematically would break down people's faith, and it made me sick to my stomach better. If it hasn't happened already, your friends will try to get you to do something else other than anything to do with church or Jesus Christ or your faith. Remember this day, because this is going to be a foundation to help you through the rest of your life. And remember this verse today, that you have freedom. Now, you might scream, you have freedom to do whatever you want, right? I can go to high school, I can choose never to come to another church service again. I can choose to never be involved in going to a youth group outing again. Some people have done that. Some people have been confirmed here. They confess that they will believe in Christ even to the point of death. And where are they now? They're waiting for you to help bring them back, remind them of that faith that they confessed. All of us have family members that that relates to, myself included. It's up to you, how do we make that freedom really known? Now, I screamed that word freedom, right? That comes from a particular movie, and we're going to get to that in a bit. But I want you to take a good look at these people. This is an old, old guy, really doesn't look familiar. His name is William Tyndale. And if you can read that verse before him, it says that if God would spare my life, even through many years, I will cause a boy who drives the plow to know more of the scriptures than you do. Because of this man, you were able to open that Bible in front of you. This man was killed for his faith, burned at the stake like you might see in Halloween time with witches. He was one of 260 at least men and women killed for trying to give you that Bible that you have before you. Died because of his faith, and he's glad to do it for you. How about this man? John Huss, he was an early reformer of the Christian church, and he questioned the people in power. He said, seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach the truth, love the truth, abide in the truth, and defend the truth unto death. And guess what? He was killed as well. And today, if it wasn't for these two men and many others, you and I would be at risk of what happened to them, being burned at the stake. They were willing to go to that limit because the Bible mattered, because that freedom in Christ mattered. Could have happened to this guy too. He had a warrant for his death hanging around his neck because he questioned the power of the church at the time. The only true church that ever existed, the Holy Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church, the powerhouse. He said that unless I'm convinced by proofs of Scripture and by plain and clear reason and argument, I can and will not retract anything I've ever said about it because it's neither safe nor wise to do anything against conscience. Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. And with that, the Pope set off with his head. Luckily, people captured him and sent him off away for years into a castle in hiding on home arrest. And during that time in the 1500s, he did something pretty bold that even Catholics, every religious body in the world can thank this man for. That Bible in front of you is due to this man by saying everybody should be able to read the Bible in their own language. He translated the New Testament for the first time from the original Greek language into German. Now, a lot of us don't speak German anymore, but through those other men, English and German unite, we have that Bible in front of you today. And that Bible isn't what is special. What's special is what you find written in those Bibles that speaks of that freedom. So, remember today, the day that you are confirmed is Reformation Day. We remember that Martin Luther, we called Bethlehem Lutheran Church for a reason, he nailed 95 arguments, theses, to the castle door to talk about why we have freedom in Christ, that we don't have to worry about earning our way into heaven by paying for forgiveness. Guess what? On the way out today, we have not 95 theses, but we have 95 Reese's peanut butter cups. Everybody, including confirmands, you can grab one on the way out. October 31st, we celebrate this every year, even though we commiserate that the church has. This is the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. Why it's good that we are Lutheran today, because of these three phrases before us that stand on this banner throughout all year. We are saved by God's grace alone. God's grace alone. Savannah, remember what the word grace meant, that acronym? He saved you out. God's riches at Christ's expense. We are saved by God's grace alone. We can't add to it. And we receive it through faith alone. No matter how many works of love, how many good deeds we do, it's a gift from God that we just trust in the heart. And we hear it only through Scripture alone. These three solas, these grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, are a hallmark of this man and the many other people that lived and died for you today. And with that, we can scream freedom. But any of you are curious why we have that weird symbol with the cross and some other like flower type stuff? You ever wondered about that? Confirmants, take a look at what's hanging on your neck. On the one side, you're going to see this image. This is an image for you to remember today. And let me explain why it's so important to you and to us. This was an image to explain our Christian faith. Martin Luther said the Christian faith is all about this. First, there has to be a cross. A cross black and placed in a heart. And the heart should retain its natural color, red. To put me in mind that faith in Christ, crucified, saves us. For if one believes from the heart, he will be justified and made right with God. Even though it is a black cross, which mortifies and would also hurt or kill us, it leaves the heart in its natural color, red, and does not ruin nature around it. That is, the cross kill but keeps man alive. For the just shall live by faith, and by faith in the Savior. Such a heart is to be in the midst of a white rose, to symbolize that faith gives joy, comfort, and peace. This is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Faith gives joy, comfort, and peace. In a world, and in one word, it places the believer into a white, joyful rose. For this faith does not give peace and joy as the world gives. Therefore, the rose is to be white, not red, for white is the color of the spirits and of angels. This rose is fixed in a sky blue field, symbolizing that such joy in the spirit and in faith is a beginning of the future heavenly joy. It is already a part of faith and is grasped through hope, even though not yet grasped. So, confirmands, as you see that blue around this heart of faith and this rosary, be reminded that what comes before you is a whole family of faithful people that brought you here. Earlier before service, we were looking at some of those old family photos of maybe your moms or dads when they were confirmed in the hallway. Years from now, people are going to look to you. Maybe if you have sons or daughters, who knows, in this church. This blue field reminds us of a heavenly glory that you are a part of. Every single Christian grandma or grandpa, great-great-grandma or grandpa who has ever believed in God and died in faith is united with you in this common faith that you share. And when you commune at this altar today, along with all of us, this half circle When you're on one side of this half circle communing, you can be reminded that what stands behind the altar that completes the circle is every single believer in Christ who is now in heaven and awaiting with you all that heavenly reality. You're connected with them today as you stand and confess your faith. And finally, behind that blue background, around this field is a golden ring to signify that such bliss in heaven is endless and more precious than all joys and goods, just as gold is the most valuable and precious metal. May Christ, our dear Lord, be with your spirit until the life to come. Amen, says Luther. This is hanging around your neck for a reason, to remind you of that faith that you can have joy in still today and see it every time you come here and look at that banner. But we are here to talk about freedom. So let me go back to that idea of Braveheart. Let's go back. I think there's some sound here. Let's go that. Let's see if it works.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run! And we will live.
Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
So a little fun. People may take your life, but they'll never take your freedom. That was the chant of William Wallace, the historical figure that led to the freedom of the Scottish people. It's pretty pertinent because we live in a town called Wales. But freedom, he said something really important. Many years from now, we hope and pray that we live to that point. Many years from now, when you're old and tired and on your deathbed, will you be content with how you've lived your life? And will you be content to know that you've done everything you can to make a difference in your life and the lives of other people? When you're faced with the reality that you're going to die, and guess what? Every one of us, until Christ returns, we're going to die. It's the sinful reality of sin in the world. And when you're on your deathbed, will you be able to say that you are free? Will you be able to go back and say, maybe instead, have I done enough to warrant eternal life? How would you answer? Did I do good enough to see my family in heaven? The answer is no. None of us can ever reach that reality. Today is all about freedom, though. And thanks be to God that the answer is no, because the reason why the answer is no is because Jesus has already done the work for you. We can go to sleep tonight. We can risk death itself, yes, and know that we are already granted eternal life now because of Jesus. Today is all about Jesus, not you, not me, not Martin Luther. It's all about Jesus and how he has already paid for your life and you belong to him. Remember that, even when you're faced with the ugly realities of life. Now, that was the movie Braveheart. I want to share with you something else. This is a guy, I like country music. Johnny Cash, who here? I think a few of you like country music. Johnny Cash, he said something really interesting. Being a Christian isn't for sissies. For wimps, it takes a real man or woman to live for God. A lot more man than to live for the devil. Now, what's important about this quote is this man, Johnny Cash, we might know and love him from his music, but he was a drug addict, he was an alcoholic, he was in and out of jail, and he's seen the worst of life along with some of us. And through all of those ups and downs of life, he can say, I am still a believer in Christ. Because that's the hardest thing that life can give us. Harder than being willing to do what the rest of the world does. Remember that today, not just because of Reformation Day, but Halloween, when the world likes to glorify evil or death. Be a Christian when it's even hard to be a Christian. That's what you confess today. So today, when we're faced with the ugliness of life, or maybe the ugliness that we maybe feel convicted, maybe how messed up life has gotten, and maybe how bad we've maybe done, turn to Christ, because he screams for you. Freedom! Amen.